Howdy again. Again, it's good to see everybody here this morning. Congratulations to Catherine Hackett. She is off the market. She is now engaged. I don't know who's more excited, her or Burnett, but anyway, congratulations to Catherine. Super Bowl Sunday. I really don't care about that. I have been underwhelmed by all the publicity and the storylines that have come out with it. And I don't care whether Taylor Swift makes it to the game or not. I just don't care. But it was a headline. It was a headline this morning that her plane did arrive in Los Angeles last night. So there's a lot of things about it that concern me. I think one of the biggest things that concerns me is that there will be $23 billion bet on this game this afternoon. $23 billion. That's just mind-boggling to me. I guess everyone's trying to find their treasure. They'll do what they can. They'll figure out ways that they can come up with their treasure. I read this article just a couple weeks ago. It actually happened back in July of 2023, where a man was working in his fields. He had a cornfield. He was doing some work out in his cornfield, and he found a cache of coins. There were 700 Civil War era coins that he dug up in his cornfield. And in that cache of coins, and these coins were in extremely good condition. I mean, they had been well preserved, they had been packaged well, they had been buried well, which I understand was a very common practice during the Civil War because they were afraid that their money would be confiscated by soldiers, and so they would bury their money in fields all over the place, which I guess that's probably the best reason that anyone would want to live in Kentucky. But anyway, it's just there was that was a reality. So he found this cache of coins in his field. There were hundreds of gold pieces dating between 1840 and 1863. There were some silver coins in there as well, but the vast majority of the coins that he found were gold coins. And in that, there were $1 gold coins, $10 gold coins, $20 gold coins. And it said that 95% of the hoard that he found comprised itself of gold dollars, along with 20 $10 Liberty coins and 8 $20 Liberty coins, the rarest of which is an 1863 $20 1 ounce gold Liberty coin. Just one of these coins is well into six figures, and he had 18 of them. It's quite a stash. Over 700 coins, and they said it'll be several million dollars that he gets from these coins. And because they're not covered under archaeological finds, it's all his. He doesn't have to turn it into anybody or anything. He is free to sell them, which he is doing. Several million dollars from digging in his field. It made me think about treasure hunters. Now, most of the time when you think of, or people hear the word treasure hunters, they may think of, maybe they think of pirates that are out searching for buried, hidden treasures, or maybe it's pirates burying their treasures. They may think of those who search the seas for shipwrecks, hoping to find buried treasures. I read where there is a organization, and their main purpose, or only purpose, is to search in caves in Kentucky and Missouri, looking for hidden stashes from Billy the Kid and other notorious crooks who stole all this money, and then they couldn't do anything with it, so they hid it. And evidently, there's still several of these hidden treasures out there somewhere, in case you're interested. People buy metal detectors and go walking along the beaches or walking through parks and find all kinds of things with their metal detectors. So some may think of things like that. Some may think of movies such as Raiders of the Lost Ark or Hidden Treasure, National Treasure. But this guy found a huge treasure. It was a large treasure. There have been many treasures found over the years some have been worth in the billions of dollars. Things that they have found, I saw one thing about a ship that was discovered. Actually, it was discovered several years ago, but the discoverer didn't want to tell anybody where it was until he had all of his ducks in a row, so to speak, so he could start bringing it up. But they estimate that particular find to be worth $16 billion. There's treasures out there, evidently. Don't come digging at my house because you won't find anything, but there are treasures out there to be had. And that got me thinking about the word treasure and how that word is used in the Bible. Remember in Luke 12:13, a man comes to Jesus and tells Jesus, "I want you to tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. I want you to handle this. I want you to tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus' response, I think, is interesting. He says in Luke 12, verse 14 beginning, "But he said to him, 'Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you?' Then he said to them, 'Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions.'" So the guy asked Jesus, tell him, or didn't really ask, he just tells him, "Tell him to divide his inheritance with me," and Jesus didn't involve himself in judging in that case. And that's not what I'm about. I'm not going to get involved with that, but he did give them a lesson on greed. He did have something to say about that. The world's idea of treasure is much different than God's idea of treasure, and that's what I want to look at this morning. Because what is it that we treasure? What do you treasure? Worldly treasures can be just about anything. What's the saying? One man's junk is another man's treasure. And you see, if you go antique stores or something, you'll see a lot of junk that is someone else's treasure. I still think my favorite antique store that I've never been to, but I want to go at some point, is in Oklahoma. And the name of the antique store is Dead People's Junk. And I just think that's interesting, and I'd like to go see dead people's junk. Typically, things like money, things like collectibles, expensive items, automobiles, I could understand that one. Worldly treasures. Your treasure could be your grandchildren, it could be your spouse, it could be family. treasure can be identified or defined in a lot of different ways. And how people define treasure will define how they respond to that treasure. Anything that we may place value on. Now, sometimes people will place too high a value on things to where those things then become an idol. And that's always a bad thing. So we don't want to do that. Evidently, Jesus says, there's the idea of treasures, there's the idea of things, but where is your treasure? Treasure can refer to something people cherish or adore. And that's when it becomes more problematic. Even though the word adore can literally mean love, respect, and admire, it can also mean to worship, to idolize, to glorify, or revere. Now, words like worship, words like glorify, words like revere should only be used for God. And Scripture warns us that idolizing things or idolizing people, putting anything on a pedestal of that nature is never a good thing. It's always about priority, and Jesus told us that, as we read in our text this morning, our priority should be to store up treasures in heaven and not on earth. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. So one reason focusing on spiritual treasures is better is because they're eternal. Heavenly treasures are eternal. Obviously, worldly treasures will eventually perish, where moth and rust comes in and destroys. And while treasures can be worth a lot of money today, they can be worth a whole lot less tomorrow. Something that has value today may not be as valuable tomorrow. How many people have made investments and lost money because it just didn't pan out that way? But even if it has sentimental value, there's still the chance that it could be lost. There's still a chance that someone could come in and steal it, or there's a chance that it could be broken. So even if you have something that you deem valuable, and again, it may be priceless in your eyes and worthless in someone else's eyes, but there's opportunity for that treasure, however you define it, however it is packaged, there is opportunity for that treasure to be lost. And Jesus says that treasure is a matter of where the heart is. What excites you? Where do your passions lie? So he goes on in the text and he says that the eye is the lamp of the body. What do your eyes seek out? What treasures do you find pleasing to the eyes? What do you focus on? What grabs your attention as you walk through the store or the car lot or wherever it is? We go through antique stores a lot. We like to do that. We started it before everything we owned were antiques, it seems like, because the things that you see now. But you walk through these stores, and there's a lot of things that I don't even look at twice. You know, I don't care about the dishes, for instance. Not interested in how many different colors of glass you can have in your cupboard that you'll never use. That's not an interest to me. What I like are, Sue has this passion for toys, antique toys, particularly tin toys. I like toy trucks. I just like toy trucks, metal trucks. I'm not really into the plastic trucks. I like the old metal trucks. And I have three or four that have some value to them that I picked up over the years. But there's the vast majority of the stuff that you walk through, I look at it and I see it. I don't care how many moose heads you see. I'm never going to buy a moose head. I will never do that. All the old clothing and that, it just doesn't, because what does your eye see? What is it that you are attracted to? Jesus says the eye is the lamp of the body. So is it money that catches your your eye. Maybe it's a collector car. I have a list of collector cars that I'd like to have. I visit an auto auction site virtually every day looking for a specific car. And if I can ever, I can find them. They're out there, but not for what I want to pay for one of these cars. But I go to these auction sites virtually every day. I look to see, and I track these cars. And I'm in there, and I'm waiting for the last, 30 minutes to put my bid in on one of these cars. And for some reason, that bid jumps thousands of dollars in those last 30 minutes. It's hard to do that. But what attracts your eye? What is the focus? Maybe it's jewelry. Maybe it's some other material thing. Or is it something spiritual? So you seek after the Word of God. You seek after opportunities to serve God. You seek after opportunities to show up where God needs you to be. Maybe it's discipleship. Maybe it's evangelism. What is it that your eye sees? Do you treasure what money cannot buy? Things such as love or wisdom, knowledge, maybe godliness. What is it that you see that your eye values? Because Jesus says the eye is the lamp of the body. It's a deciding issue that people have. What do you treasure? What are you devoted to? What do you put your hope in? Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 17 beginning, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves a treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. Arrogant folks will think their money or status will always be there and that it will always get them through. Arrogant folks think that money is the it that they have to pursue in their life. But we realize, and the scriptures tell us, that nothing in the world is certain. The only thing that is certain is God. And if your hope is not in money, then you have a tendency to be more generous with it. If your hope is not in those material things, then you have a tendency to share those things with others. You don't have to worry about making sure you hoard it for the future. But it's just a matter of what your eye sees and how your eye sees those things. It's not to say that we don't plan wisely for the future. I think we are told to be good stewards of the things that we have been blessed with and that we have to work towards the future. But our trust and our hope is in the God whose storehouse is limitless. Our hope and trust is in the God who is already in the future. And so there has to be a happy medium of that, and we understand that God can take care of our needs. Well, okay, Bob. Since God's storehouse is limitless, let him bless people. If God has all there is, if there's no limit to the storehouse that he has, let him handle that and I'll just keep what I have. That might be the approach that some take. Why do I have to do that? God wants to use us to bless others with some of the blessings that we have received from God. I think God blesses us so that we can bless others. And when we do, then we receive that blessing as well. We receive the benefit of love. We receive the benefit of compassion. We receive the benefit of generosity, of fellowship. We receive the benefit of shining the light. That's who God calls us to be. And it's not so that we'll do that so people say, hey, look at him, or we do it so, hey, look at me. That's not the point. The point of God blessing us is so that we can bless others. Being generous is something that will bless both the giver and the receiver. It gives both an opportunity to see how God can be trusted. It's important that we understand those responsibilities. When our treasure is God, then doing our will is going to be a treasure to us. Helping others is a treasure to us. Those without Christ think that the good life is found in having plenty of worldly things. So they'll store up for themselves treasures on earth. And they miss the point of what Jesus says is really the focus of our lives. But for those of us who have Christ, then we have come to know what living the good life is really all about. And we look at it from a different perspective. What do you treasure? Your eye is the key. What do you see? Do you see the opportunities to bless others? Or do you choose to look away, to not involve yourself, or not take those opportunities? Well, there are spiritual treasures that we need to be thinking about as well. The Bible tells us some of those. You read in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1 beginning, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God." Solomon is instructing his son and wants him to understand this need to accept what he's saying and the value of storing up his commands. He says, "I want you to understand what's really important. I want you to understand what you can realize as true treasures. Think of the treasures of God's commands." And we probably don't think too much of God's commands as something that are treasures to us. We usually think of treasures as something that has blessed us in some way, most of all physically. But when we think of the treasures of God's commands, it helps us to put a different focus on those things. We have the one who knows all and sees all giving us directives on what to do and what not to do, and that's valuable. Having that information is extremely, extremely valuable. And that knowledge is priceless sometimes. I read the old story, you probably read it well, that a man or a company had this large piece of equipment that quit working, and so they tried to fix it, and they couldn't fix it, and they finally called in an expert. And this expert comes flying into this city, and he walks into the machine, he looks at it, it's a large piece of equipment, it's just not working. He looks at it, he studies it for a little while, and then he pulls a little hammer out of his pocket, walks to a certain spot on that machine, and he gives it a whack with the hammer, and it starts working again. So then he gives the company a bill for $42,000. And he said, "The company just, all you did was hit it with a hammer." And he said, "Okay, I'll give you an itemized bill." That's what they wanted. So he gave him an itemized bill. Hitting the machine with a hammer, $500. Knowing where to hit the machine with the hammer, $41,500. See, knowledge has value to it. And when we understand that concept, as the writer of Proverbs, as Solomon tells us, we will get that. He shows us what will enable us to live righteously and what will enable us to avoid trouble. Many view God's commands as burdensome. They don't look at them as blessings. They wonder why they have to obey this one or that one. Why do I have to do this? Or why do I have to do that? Or why can't I do this? And so they look at God's commands and they seem burdened down by looking at, they think, what they're losing out on life. But when you see God's wisdom and love behind his commands, it doesn't take you very long to be more apt to treasure them and store them up in your hearts. We are to turn our ear to wisdom, Solomon says. We are to apply our hearts to understanding. We are to call out for insight. Do we truly value things like wisdom and understanding? Do we want the insights on the mind of God? If we say yes to those things, then what are we doing to get them? When Solomon tells his son, these are the things that you need. These are the things that you have to have. The next step is, well, what do I do? How do I get those things? Are we seeking after these things? Do we still call out for these things? Are we asking God to provide these things, to reveal his wisdom to us? Are these the things that we really crave? You see, when we treasure these things, we will continue to seek them as if looking for buried treasure. These professional treasure seekers are serious people. Now, there are shows on TV, you can watch documentaries, you can go to the History Channel and different places and see some of the things that these folks do. But they are dedicated to that. They have defined what the treasure is, and they have dedicated their lives to finding that treasure. If someone found a treasure map and decided to go on a quest to find X, because X always marks the spot, everybody knows that. So if you ever find a treasure map and there's an X marked on it, folks will go to tremendous lengths to try to find X. We'll try to find whatever it is. It doesn't even have to be defined at all. It doesn't have to say, if you find this, you're going to dig up gold bullion. It can just say X, and people will say, I want it. They don't even know what it is. But because it's on a treasure map, they seek it. The thrill of finding it fuels them to take the risks. It encourages them to pay the price. And that's just in the hope of finding it. Because there's absolutely no guarantee. None. And they'll go through tremendous work and expense and possibly danger to find what they are not even sure is there. And I think of it in those terms, and I think, what are these people thinking? Why do they do that? Because of what the eye sees. And what the eye determines is the treasure. And they dedicate their lives to that. But with the treasure of wisdom, with the treasure of understanding, with the treasure of insight that Solomon talks about, we can be sure that God wants us to have these things. He tells us again in Proverbs 11 and verse 4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Can I give you just a little side assignment here? Some of you it may not work well with, but my birthday is November 4th, 11-4. So I went through the Bible and looked for every 11-4 to read what they had. And this is one of them that came up. And this is one of my favorite. Some of them are, it's okay. But some of them just resonate from time. It's just a little practice you can do. There's various ways that you can read and study your Bible or look for treasures in your Bible. And that's just one of them. But riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. You can't take it with you. We've all heard that. We've all seen that. I've never preached a funeral yet where people are carrying suitcases with them. It's never happened. Those things may have given you clout with your fellow man in your life on earth, but not in heaven. They mean absolutely nothing. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 6, for God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. These earthen vessels that Paul uses here, that is the cheapest vessel that was in that time. It's the throwaway that we have today. It was worthless. It held something, and that was it. The emphasis was what was inside the vessel, not on the vessel. And so we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in ourselves. We carry that treasure with us so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. The treasure is not us. The treasure is what is in us and how we continue to utilize that in the world today. Paul made it very clear that the light that we shine is not our own, but that light is the light of Christ shining through us. That clay jar was very plain, worth virtually nothing, but what it contained, it could be priceless. That's where the value came from. And he wants us to make sure that we don't draw attention to ourselves, that we direct that to Christ. That's what we set out to do. Jesus said in chapter 5 of Matthew, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." They don't see you and their first thought is that a boy. They don't see you and congratulate you. They see you and glorify God. That should be our life's work. So what's it worth to you? We are a treasure to God. And when I think about that, and I try to put that in perspective, God is the creator and the ruler of the universe. And of all the things that he's created, everything of value, all the gold, all the majestic things, all the diamonds, all the precious jewels, everything that God has created in the world, the only thing that he sent his son to die for was me. I am his treasure. Of all the value, of all the worth, I am at the top. And I know y'all are there as well. I'm not saying you're excluded from that. But it's just that realization of where I stand in importance in the universe. I'm right there at number one, as is all of God's people. The question is he a treasure to us? The song we sang just before the lesson, "You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all." We have to think about that and make sure that that is true. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Are we seeking him as a precious jewel? Are we truly doing that? And then what do we do when we find him? You remember reading about this, Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." This guy was overjoyed when he found this particular treasure. He saw it worth, and it was something more than anything else he had in the world. Everything that he had did not compare to the value of that, whatever that treasure was that he found in that field. I think maybe the guy in Kentucky probably felt the same way. The difference was he already owned the field. He didn't have to rebury it and then go buy the field so that he could get that. That's what this guy did. But that's how we should be. We should view what we have through Christ to be more valuable than anything else that we could ever have. Now, obviously, there are some folks who just don't see it that way. That's not their perspective. You remember the rich man that approached Jesus and asked what he needed to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him, Matthew chapter 19, Jesus said, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. In all of Scripture, it's the only place where I can find someone walking away from Jesus sad. Jesus said, you want to inherit eternal life? Then sell everything you have and give it to the poor. He left grieving because of what he had. The man had told Jesus earlier, you know what, I've obeyed all the commandments. You know, I've been doing that all my life. What else do I have to do? He realized, and Jesus said, that obeying all the commands just wasn't enough. In this case, Jesus indicates that selfless generosity would become a heavenly treasure to him, and the man just went away sad. There are also those who won't give unless they get. I'm happy to give. What am I going to get and receive in return for that? I'd be happy to give you this, but will you give it back to me with interest? Is the mindset that many people have. How will I benefit from giving? But we give simply to be a blessing to others. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, and whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Even a cup of water will bring a reward. There's value in blessing others. There's a contrast of these two men in these last two illustrations that we looked at. One was willing to sell everything he had to have the treasure. And the other was not willing to sell anything that he had to sell the treasure or to have the treasure. So the question is, what's it worth to you? A couple of examples you read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, beginning, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Then you look in Philippians chapter 3, beginning of verse 7, Paul says, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. In the world's eyes, the exchanges that Moses and Paul made were foolish. They could have had far more as far as the world's eyes are concerned. But looking through a spiritual lens, the eye that Jesus talks about in the text, not making those exchanges would be foolish. What are you looking at? See, Jesus made an exchange as well. He was willing to leave the glory of heaven to come to earth. The greatest exchange ever made. It wasn't, you know, you look at the exchange that Moses made. You look at the exchange that Paul made. Great decisions, but what they left does not compare to what Jesus left when he left the glories of heaven and exchanged that to come here. He left his throne, a place where he was worshipped by angels, to come to earth to be ridiculed and despised and hated, betrayed, to be beaten, to be tortured, to be crucified. Was that a foolish exchange? No. Knowing and serving God was a greater treasure to him than anything else. As you read in Hebrews 12, who endured the cross because he looked at what came on the other side of the cross as far more valuable. So how about us? Our exchange may not be as dramatic as the ones Moses and Paul made, but we will be challenged to decide if we're willing to sacrifice the pursuit of earthly treasures to build up heavenly treasures. You will be faced with that choice. I guarantee that. That is an absolute that you cannot escape from. I can tell you it's worth it, but that's the decision you're going to have to make on your own. So are you a treasure seeker? Are you looking for what Jesus has for us? Is he truly the treasure that we seek? If we can encourage you in that hunt, let us know as we stand and sing this song.